You know, I've always been a giver. And there actually are many reasons why that's the case. The first is the fact that my mom is a giver. Matter of fact, she's probably one of the best givers I know. I used to watch her all the time growing up. And every time she gave, something would happen to her. How she talked would change. She literally would, probably the best way to describe it is she would shine. She would smile big. And I saw that, and inside my heart, I was like, you know what? I want those feelings. I want to be like that. I want to behave that way. And so it made me want to give too. Plus, honestly, I've never been much of a stuff guy. I guess you could say I'm kind of practical from that standpoint. When I'm shopping or if I'm looking at the different things that I own, either I have a need for it or I usually get rid of it. I can actually quickly purge lots of stuff. Matter of fact, during this time, I've been getting rid of a lot of things in my home, which is good. It's kind of a way of decluttering. But I see something where either I can use it and I keep it, I see that someone else can use it, so I give it away, or I just throw it away. There's really no need for me to keep things that I have no use for. I guess you could say I'm just not very sentimental with things. Matter of fact, that's how I do tag sales. I mean, for those of you who know me well, you know I love tag sales, which actually it's kind of hard because this time has kind of slowed down the tag sales season. But when I go to tag sales, I rarely buy things for myself. In fact, this is how I approach it. I go to a tag sale, and usually I'm trying to find things that I can buy really cheap that I can resell for a good amount of money. Or I see something, and in my mind, oh, that would be perfect for this person. That's usually why my kids like to go tag sailing with me, because when we come home, they usually end up with more stuff than I do. And I guess really one of the other reasons why that I love to give is that if there's been an area that God has always been faithful to me in, it's been in the area of finances. Always. Matter of fact, even when I was in my corporate job and was making really good money, or when I've been living on unemployment, God has always been faithful, especially in my areas of finances. He was never late. He always provided exactly what I needed. And so because of that, it's kind of changed my outlook in regard to things, even in regard to my time, and really in regard to everything that God's given me. I actually remember the first time that I ever gave, and I guess you'd say that I gave the way that my mom kind of showed me growing up. I just graduated college, and I was living out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was attending a church out there, and it was actually at a small group, a single small group. We had started, and we were basically just kind of in a circle, and people were giving out prayer requests. And one girl, she raised her hand and said that she wanted prayer for a financial need in her life. Her car insurance was due, and she honestly didn't have the money to take care of the need. So we started praying. And as we were praying, I remember having my eyes closed, and I kept feeling God poke me, saying, like, I want you to take care of that need. And no matter what I did that evening, I couldn't shake it. So that next day, I went to the bank, and I got the exact amount of money that it would take to take care of that need. And I remember then going out and actually buying a card. I put the money in the card. I didn't sign it. And to be, I guess, a little more sneaky, I literally drove a town away and mailed it from another town. So it would be impossible for her to know who actually provided that need. And I couldn't wait for the next small group. So that next week, I remember getting there, and she came in, and she was like a bundle of energy. She had this huge smile on her face, and she was like, I gotta tell you this testimony. God blessed me. Just when I needed it, I got this in the mail, and God provided for my need. It wasn't Chris Mallett who provided for the need. It was God. And I don't know about you, but after that, I was hooked. I just could not wait for the next opportunity to give. I actually remember the first time I gave, once I got married, me and Sharon, we had moved to Brookfield. We were living in Brookfield, Connecticut. At the time, both of us were working. And I just remember God kind of poking me to say to bless this family that we were going to church with. They didn't really have that much, and I just felt God saying to me for us to do it. So I went to Sharon, and I shared, you know, what I felt God was telling us, and then I told her the amount, and it was big. It was a really, you know, it definitely was, it surprised Sharon, but I'm telling you, it was some of the most fun that we've ever had as a couple. We remember, I think it was like a couple days later, Sharon got a phone call from the mom of that family, and she said that she had got a card in the mail, and she was opening up while she was in the bathroom, and she literally collapsed on the floor. And as my wife was telling me the story, I just could not stop smiling. I mean, even now as I'm telling you the story, I remember it just like it was yesterday, and it made me so happy inside. It was just reminded me of what I used to see in my mom when she was giving. And thankfully, God kind of poked us many more times after that, and we kept blessing that same family. It seemed like God asked us to double the amount every time. And it was just so much fun being a giver. Now, I know especially, you know, during these times, as our economy seems to be really uncertain, that we're often challenged in the area of giving. I mean, sometimes we may be nervous that God may ask us to give in a way that would make us feel uncomfortable or make us feel really nervous about, you know, well, God, can I give in that way? And I know a number of you who may be watching this sermon, in your own mind, you're thinking, well, I'm struggling financially, so why are you going to talk about giving? Well, the reality is that a number of you probably haven't even shared with other people just how much of a need there is in your life. So we tend to do that for lots of different reasons, but what I want to do this morning is I want to take some time to teach on not only giving, but I also want to teach on receiving. Because believe it or not, there actually is a blessing with both of those things. I mean, first we're going to do is we're going to look at giving. We're going to look at the benefits or the blessings of doing it. But then I also want to look at, I guess you'd say, some cautions or ways to make sure that you're the best giver you possibly can be. Because, look, it's not just finances when we're talking about giving. Oftentimes, what we need from other people isn't money. We may just need their time. We may just need a word of encouragement. And there's lots of different things that we can give to people. But I also want to look at receiving and the blessing that you actually can get from that. Because we often focus on giving, right? And we don't look at the other part of that equation, which is the receiving part. I also want to give us some wisdom on how to receive. Because not only will it allow us to be better at receiving, but it'll make sure that we honor God. And it will also make sure that we honor the people that God uses in our life to give to us. So, what I've learned is sometimes God will put you in periods of your life where he's going to ask you to give. There are going to be times in your life that God is going to demand that you give. But what I'm learning is quite often God's going to present you with opportunities where you could give. You don't have to, but God's going to show you opportunities to give. And it's the same thing on the receiving side. There are going to be times in your life where God's going to ask you to receive. There's going to be times where God is literally going to demand that you receive something from him. But just in the same way of giving, there's going to be opportunities that God's going to present to you where you have the opportunity to receive. But the choice is going to be yours. Are you going to be willing to receive something either from God or for someone else? So why don't we this morning look at how we can honor God both in our giving and receiving? So first, I would like to talk about a few of the benefits of giving. So number one, when you give, you get blessed by God. When you give, you get blessed by God. Now, what we're going to do this morning is look at probably one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible in regards to giving. Matter of fact, you're going to hear it quoted all the time. in church. So let's read Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, why don't we look at this verse, and I guess we'll try to break it down into pieces and we'll see what God is really trying to say. I mean, the first part is pretty self-explanatory, right? It says, give and it will be given back to you. But what then God does through the rest of this verse is he describes, I guess, the giving that we will get as a blessing for giving to someone else. He kind of describes that. And to help you kind of understand what I'm talking about, I want you to picture someone who literally has a piece of clothing that looks like an apron that they're wearing in front of them, where if you were to hold it out, it would be where you could store something from a clothing perspective. Because you got to remember, when Jesus was teaching the people, oftentimes he used stories or examples based on where they were living. And most of the people here were farmers. So he used examples that they would easily recognize. And so think of it as like a piece of clothing that they would hold out where they would store the seeds that they would use to kind of do their planting. So picture them literally walking around with, you know, an apron. Inside are all the seeds, and they literally would go out and they would throw the seeds out to be planted in the soil. So what Jesus is describing in the scripture is what they would expect to receive based on what they gave, what they sowed, the seeds that they spread out. So let's see how Jesus describes it. The first thing he says is a good measure. Now, that's actually more accurately described as a full measure or the entire measure. What Jesus is saying is when you give, you should expect to get back the full measure of what you've been given. And then he kind of uses different phrases to show how you get that full measure. Now, the first thing he says is press down. So think of an apron that you're holding out, and when it says press down, almost think of like grapes or raisins. And if they were filled up inside that apron, picture if you started to press them down. Well, if you press them down, you'd be able to fit more of them inside that piece of clothing. And then it talks about shaken together. So picture if you have that apron and you press down and you shake it a little bit. And by shaking it, it actually causes any empty areas, you know, it causes it to settle down even more where you'd be able to fit more inside that apron area. So picture pressing down, shaking together, kind of pressing down a little more and shaking it up so you can fit as much as you can. And then it says running over. So it's literally so much is put in there. Even though it's pressed down and shaken together, there's so much in there that it's overflowing. So think of them, because it says will be put into your lap. So you have this apron that had a good amount of seed that they went out and sowed. Well, the return that they get from what they gave is so much that even though they pressed it down, they shook it up, the amount of giving that returns to them was so much that it literally overflowed. It fell into their lap because that's where they would hold, I guess you'd say, the harvest. That's how they collected it. So when we give, that's the level of blessing that we can expect to receive from God, more than what we gave. Now, the second benefit is that it shows that you trust God. When you give, it shows that you trust God. Because the reality is, when you give, you have something and you give it to someone else, which means you don't have it anymore. You've actually lost something. You now have less than what you originally had. Now, let me read a scripture for you in 2 Corinthians, and it talks about that type of giving. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read you verses 1 through 4. It says, "Brothers and sisters, I want you to know about the grace that God has given to the churches in Macedonia. They have suffered a great deal, but their joy was more than full. Even though they were very poor, they gave very freely. I give witness that they gave as much as they could. In fact, they gave even more than they could. completely on their own. They begged us for the chance in sharing and serving God's people in that way. And that was the attitude of these churches in Macedonia. Matter of fact, two of the churches that were in that Macedonia area, they'll probably sound familiar to you. It was the church in Philippi, book of Philippians. It was the church in Thessalonica. So think of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And they had such an attitude toward giving that even though they were extremely poor, they just couldn't get enough in regards to giving. Now, look, when you're poor and you're willing to give, it shows just how much you trust God. Because, look, if you are in, if you yourself are in need, but yet you're still willing to take what you have and give it to someone else who you feel is also in need, what you're saying is that I trust God to provide for me. Because you remember, every time that you give, number one, there's no guarantee on when you will get back what you've given. So the scripture that we talk about God, blessing us, pressed down, shaking together, running over, there's no timetable on when that will happen. Sometimes when we give, God blesses us back pretty quickly. Other times, not so much. It could be a while. The reality is, you may not get back what you've given until you're in heaven one day. So that demands you to put your faith and trust in God. Plus, you may not get back what you gave. You may get something back completely different. Because remember, God's the one who gives back to us. See, what I've learned is some people, they almost demand that God give them back something specific. Well, God, I gave finances, so I expect you to give me finances in return. Well, what if that's not what God wants to give you back in return? You have to trust that God loves you. God knows what you need. So allow God to give back to you the way that He sees best. Like I said, that is you being willing to trust God. And also, sometimes God requires us to give out of our need, just like we read in Corinthians. Sometimes God is asking us to sacrificially give when we ourselves feel like we are in need. Well, if we're in need and we still are willing to give, you only can do that if you trust that God is willing to provide for your needs. I'll give you an example that may help you see this a little better. Let's say I have two cookies. I've got one in each hand. And you know what? I'm hungry. So I look at that first cookie and I eat it. And let's say that when I'm done with it, I'm actually satisfied. I'm not hungry anymore. It was good, but the reality is I'm kind of full. So I still have one more cookie in my hand, and let's say a friend comes by and I could tell he's kind of eyeballing the cookie. I mean, usually you could tell when you have something that someone else wants. So he's just kind of looking at it, and so I give it to him. Not that really big of a deal, right? Because I've already had one, I'm full, I'm satisfied, and so that's not really that much of a sacrifice. So I give it to him. Now, it's a whole different ballgame though when you have that one, that you eat that one cookie, and when you're done with it, you're not satisfied. You're actually still hungry. Has this ever happened to you where you've been eating something and it kind of just whets your appetite? So you're finished with one and you're like, dang, now I'm really hungry and I really want to eat this other one. Well, what do you do when God says, no, don't eat that, even though you're still hungry, give that one away? Or if you really want to get, I guess you'd say, kind of extreme, what do you do when you have two cookies in your hand, you're really hungry, and God says, no, don't eat either of them. Give both of those cookies away. Because what he's basically saying is, those cookies aren't yours. Don't eat them. They're my cookies, and I want you to give them. See, because when you give, what you're saying is, I trust God. So what I'm going to do is, no matter whether I have more than enough or not enough, if God tells me to give, I'm going to give based on obedience to Him. And I will just rest in the fact that God will give me what I need. It's trust. Now, the last benefit I want to talk about in regards to giving is that every time you give, you become more like God. Yeah, well, think about that. I mean, who is the greatest giver of all time? It's God, who gave us life. He literally created the world and everything in it. And he didn't stop there. God then loved us so much that he actually gave his only son, died on a cross to give us life, to free us from the power of sin and death. He didn't even stop there. Even now, God is continually blessing us, giving us what we need, giving us what we want, just giving us things because he loves us. Matter of fact, James chapter 1, verse 17, the first part of that verse says, every good and perfect gift is from God. And since we know that God is the greatest giver, every time we give, we are literally following his example. If we are willing to sacrificially give, knowing that really there's no way that person could ever repay us, we are modeling our life after God. How many of you have ever heard this phrase, that imitation is the highest form of flattery, right? Most of us have heard that before. And as a parent, I can say that is true. Imitation is sometimes the highest form of flattery. Well, of course, unless your child is imitating either behaviors or things that you say that you really don't want them to be imitating. But if there is one area in God that we really should be aspiring to become more like, it's in the fact that he is a giver. The Bible talks about the fact that there's no greater love than for someone to willingly give, to lay down his life for someone else. That's the God we serve. That's what he modeled for us. And so if there's a way to, I guess you'd say, imitate God, it's in the area of giving. Because if you want to become more like God and God is love, then we do that through giving. Now, let me give you, though, a few cautions, though. So those are some of the benefits of giving, but let me give you a few cautions in regards to giving. Because the Bible talks about when you give, you should do it cheerfully. And now, to many of you, this is going to be a very familiar scripture. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. It says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So what the Bible is saying here, it really comes down to the attitude. It's not necessarily the action of giving. It's the attitude behind the action of giving. And the Bible really mentions two different ways not to give. It says, don't give reluctantly. Now, that's better described as don't give when it makes you feel sad. It's literally that simple. It's saying try to avoid giving where it makes you feel heavy, where it almost seems painful to give. And the second way it says don't give under compulsion. Now, that's better described as don't give because you feel like you have to. Give because you want to give. Because as parents, you know this. There are times where don't we almost make our kids give? And usually it's probably to like another sibling or one of their friends. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to teach them how to share, right? We're trying to teach them to not be selfish. But the reality is they wouldn't do it unless we forced them to do it. And what God is saying, he's saying, don't give that way. Don't give in either of those two ways I've described, but instead give cheerfully. Now, I think this is really cool. But if you look at the word cheerful, it's actually the Greek word for hilarious. Yeah, for the word hilarious. It's like God saying, look, once you understand what giving is, once you learn to not give, you know, because you feel like you have to, once you begin to give where it doesn't make you sad, you actually look forward to it. What it does on the inside, it transforms you to where you literally want to laugh out loud. Those are the feelings that you feel inside you. So when you give, it's like it's hilarious. It's like what I was describing those stories before, the times when I either watched my mom give or I myself experienced giving. It's like on the inside, picture just someone rolling on the floor laughing because it's hilarious. Those are the feelings of joy that giving should give to you. And that's what cheerful giving does. So don't give if it hurts. Don't give if you feel like you're forced to. Because the reality is, when you give that way, what it shows is that you love the stuff more than the person that you're giving to. And that's not what Jesus modeled for us. He gave because he loved us. Now, the Bible also talks about, in the area of giving, that when you give, it says to do it in secret. And we find that in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you are giving maybe in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now, that was something that I was taught very early on by my parents. It was not only how they give, they wanted to make sure that no one knew, but it was actually how I saw giving modeled to my family and how other people gave to us. I remember times where we would literally be at church. It would be a Sunday morning service. So we would be at church. We would then walk back to our car, and inside the car were bags of groceries. Someone gave it to us. We had no idea who it was. And trust me, the idea of me taking cash, putting it in a card, not signing it, and then sending it from a town that I didn't live in, it wasn't just an idea that I thought of on my own. That was how people used to give to my family when we were going through financial problems. My parents would receive cards in the mail with cash from towns where they didn't know anyone. But that's how you give when it comes to giving in secret. Now, why do we approach giving that way? Well, the truth is, you prefer to receive your reward from God, not from other people. One of the, I guess, best ways of looking at that is, I've never really been a big fan of having buildings named after you. I guess I have no desire in my life to ever have the Chris Mallett Honorary Library. I guess what if I donated to my university of Oral Roberts University, I don't want to see the Chris Mallett dorm room or residency hall. It just doesn't sit well with me. I mean, even things like, have you noticed like the GoFundMes where, you know, you'll see like people giving certain amounts of money. I always felt a little uncomfortable when I saw like a really big amount and their name. What I prefer to see is a really big amount and the one word, anonymous. Why? Because those are the people who really understand what giving is. There's nothing more fun, I'm telling you, when you have someone come up to you and give you a testimony of God being faithful in their life. And little do they know, you are the one that God poked and asked you to be his hands and his feet. You were the one that blessed them. And the only people who know is you and God. There's nothing that will make you smile bigger inside your heart when God allows you to be like him. So now, I have learned though, for some people though, this is not easy to do, to give in secret. Why? Because people want to feel appreciated. Certain people, words of affirmation are really important to them. And so sometimes it's hard for them to not want someone to come up to them and say, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for that gift. I guess the mindset where they have to kind of change is they have to trust that God is better at rewarding you than other people would. Because that's the reality of it. Who would you rather have reward you? God or someone else? Now, why don't we look at the benefits of receiving. We talk a lot about giving, but we rarely talk about the benefits of receiving. So let's just take a little bit of time and talk about that. So number one, when you receive, your wants or needs are taken care of. And some of you are probably thinking, well, isn't that kind of oversimplistic? I mean, but think about it. How do your needs get taken care of? Well, the only way that you can have your needs taken care of is if you're actually willing to receive what you need. I mean, it could be as simple as you having a job, you working, and you then get your salary or money given to you, which you then can use to pay for your needs. Now, but the reality is, who provided the job? Who gave you the strength to do the job? Who gave you the opportunity to do the job? Well, God did. So it still takes you being willing to receive. Other times, it's going to have nothing to do with you at all, other than maybe your willingness to ask for help and your willingness to receive that help from someone else. But let's look at a few verses in Luke that kind of show us on how to receive. It's Luke chapter 18. I'm only going to read three verses. So Luke 18, starting in verse 41, it says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Lord, I want to be able to see," the blind man replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Right away he could see. He followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So that's about as straightforward as it gets, right? There was a need. The man asked for healing. Jesus had the ability to provide healing, and the man received his healing. So I know this may sound, like I said, Pastor, isn't that kind of oversimplifying things? Well, I've learned that there are so many people who miss out on receiving what they want or what they need just because they aren't willing to ask. They aren't willing to actually receive something. Which leads me to my next point. When you receive, it will either grow your humility, or I guess another way of putting it is it will shrink your pride. It'll either grow your humility or it will shrink your pride. Because look, one of the biggest reasons why people don't receive what they need or what they want is pride. Either they refuse to ask or they refuse to receive it in the way that someone wants to give it to them. Matter of fact, look again at those two verses in Luke. We actually see two actions on the part of that person, and it's based on what Jesus says to them. So let's look at the two statements. So Jesus said, "What do you want?" Now the man was basically given an opportunity to ask for something. It was in his hands. It was his choice. I mean, he literally could have said, well, he could have said nothing, right? He could have refused. I'm not even going to answer Jesus. He could have also put demands on Jesus and said, okay, but I expect to receive healing this way. But see, what we see, though, is that Jesus positioned the man to have the opportunity to have his needs met. And then the next thing that Jesus said was, "Receive your sight." So what happens is the man's willingness to ask and receive the way that Jesus offered allowed him to receive his sight. Now, see, what I've learned is that most people refuse to ask for help. They usually end up not getting what they want or need. And usually their excuse is that, well, someone should have just offered to help me. Why do I have to ask? Or what they also would say is that, well, I'm mad at God because, look, why should I have to pray and ask God to meet my needs? He already knows my needs, so why do I got to tell him? I've met people who literally are both mad at God and the church because somehow it's not been prophetically figured out what their need is, and there have been willingness to meet that need exactly how that person wanted that need met. As a matter of fact, you know what I've learned? I am probably the worst mind reader in the world. I am. Remember, if you don't believe me, ask my wife. I've been married for 22 years, and you know what I've learned? I'm terrible at mind reading, and it's not from lack of trying. I have tried for years to be able to read my wife's mind, to know exactly what she wants. But you know what I have learned I'm really good at? When someone tells me exactly what they need or what they want, I'm really good at meeting those needs. I really am. And that's the giver that's inside me. Look, I can't promise that I'm going to do it the way that you want it done. But I guess that is part of the swallowing the pride, right? Is that you being willing to receive the way that someone is willing to give to you. You being willing to ask and not expect them to just figure it out. Now, the third, I guess you'd say, blessing that you can get from receiving is that it allows someone else to get the blessings of giving. Now, I'm going to do some confessions to you this morning. Can I do that? There's a few things that I kind of want to, I guess you'd say, get off my chest in the areas of giving. Because as a giver, there are a few things that I think that people do that, I guess you'd say, bother me a little bit. So, well, the first thing is, it bothers me when people don't let me know what their wants and needs are. And look, right, I already covered that. I know that I'm not a good mind reader. I do know that I love to give. So, look, just tell me what you want or need, and I'll be able to meet that need. Second thing that kind of bothers me is when people who don't let me, I guess, give to them in any way. And look, it may not just be in, you know, something that they need. It may not even just be something they want. Sometimes I just like to give to people because, you know, they came to my mind. And it's a just because. So I want to give something to someone because I care about them and I love them. I want to show some appreciation to them. If you really want to, I guess you'd say, hurt a giver, don't let them give to you. There's nothing worse to a giver than when you try to give to someone and they either won't let you or they reject the gift. Now, third area that I guess you could say bothers me from that perspective is people who keep a record of what I give and when. Because in their minds, they want to repay me. Have you met people like that? You know, it's like you take someone out to lunch and you pay for their lunch. And their first response is, all right, well, I got the next one. And in my mind, no, you don't. I wanted to give this to you. Because the reality is, if I buy your lunch and you immediately say, well, I'll get the next one. Well, then I'm not giving you anything. It's almost like it's like a loan. Right? Because what you're saying is, you know, well, you know, we got to make sure that we stay even. I don't want to owe you anything. See, giving has nothing to do with owing someone. It's allowing someone the opportunity to bless you, which in turn allows God to bless them. See, people love giving because that's just innate in them. They've learned, I guess, the cheerful side, the hilarious side. It's something that's ingrained in them. Other people give because it's an act of obedience to God. God said, hey, that person, give this. Eventually, what we learn is God takes both of those and mixes them together. So, yes, we give out of acts of obedience, but honestly, we're like proactive in our giving because we love how it makes us feel and we love how it makes the other person feel. So we're almost begging God for opportunities. God, can I give to that person? See, when you're willing to give with a good attitude, it shows that person God's favor. It shows that person that you are willing to walk in obedience no matter what God asks you to do. Now, just like with giving, remember I talked about, I guess you'd say, some cautions or things that you can do to make your giving more, you know, in line with honoring God and honoring the person that gives? Well, let me give you just one, and we'll end with this. Let me give you one caution in regards to receiving. It's pretty simple. It's always be thankful. Always be thankful. And as a parent, that's something that we take a lot of time trying to train our kids to be, isn't it? It's to always to say thank you. It could be as simple as on birthdays and Christmases to where we ask our kids to sit down and do handwritten cards to people who have taken the time to give them a gift. It could be something as simple as honoring someone who gave to you in front of lots of people so everyone knows what a great giver they are. It could be just you, once you've received a gift, going to God and saying, God, I pray that you would bless this person so much more in how they gave to be. And doesn't this even have to be finances? Even if they gave you a word of encouragement, even if they just took some time out of their schedule and helped you out, you could just say, God, just like your word says, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them in a way where they're given back to them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's like literally quoting the Bible over that person. Because when we think about God and all that he's done for us, that's how we're supposed to approach him. We're supposed to always approach him with thankfulness. Last verse I want to read for you is in Psalms chapter 100, verses 4 and 5. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. What that's saying is, every time that you approach God, first, give thanks. First, honor God and remember all the things that he's done for you. Why? Because he's good and he's generous. And everything that we have, we've gotten from God. Now, you know what? I want to give you something a little extra. If you really want to get radical in the area of giving and receiving, how about the next time that you, I guess, start talking with someone, how about you approach them the way that you approach God? So the next time that you see someone that you haven't seen in a while, I want you to think of a time that they gave to you. And you know what? Start your conversation with them with thanks. Thank them for a time when they gave to you. Don't start with a joke. Don't start with a complaint. Don't start with a need in your life. Don't start with an interesting fact. Just start with a way of thanking them for a time when they gave to you. Can you imagine how that would change your conversation with that person? Can you imagine how that would change the tone of that conversation when you start with thanksgiving? When you're honoring the fact that they were willing to give to you, and you're honoring the fact that you are willing to receive from them. Because the reality is, what I really want you to leave with here today is that there are blessings for both giving and for receiving. And I'm glad that's true. Why? Because, look, we go through different seasons in our life. There's going to be times in your life where you have more than enough, and God is going to ask you to step out and bless someone. There are going to be other times in your life where you're not going to have more than enough. You're not going to have enough at all. And God's going to expect you to be willing to receive help from someone else. And that sometimes means being willing to ask for it. So when people see how you're willing to give, but in the same way they see your attitude and how you're willing to receive, what that actually does is build influence with people. It's what we've been talking about all the time. It's creating a bridge between you and the other person where you're going to be able to speak words of life into them. You're going to be able to share the gospel message with them. You're going to be able to show them how much that Jesus loves them. So look, during this time right now, you're going to have lots of opportunities to give. During this time, you're going to have lots of opportunities to receive. A lot of them are going to be choices. Are you willing to share your needs? Are you willing to be vulnerable to let people know ways that they could bless you? Are you looking for opportunities to give? Are you literally asking God, God, give me a chance to give to someone? Then you get it. Then you have that hilarious feeling inside of you, the joy that will become a strength in your life. Look for